Psalm 62, verse number 1, the psalmist said, David speaking here, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." I'm interested in the first phrase this morning of verse number 8 of Psalms chapter 62, where the psalmist David said, "Trust in him at all times." Trust in him at all times. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to have a copy of the Word of God. I pray this morning that you would truly give us, Lord, Father, an exposition that would encourage our heart, strengthen our faith, and guide our steps as we sojourn in this life. Father, I need your touch, your presence, and your power. And Father, I feel unprepared and inadequate. And Lord, I need a touch from heaven. I pray for direction and guidance and wisdom, Lord, to convey the burden of our heart to this people. I pray for that one that's lost without the Lord, that today would be the crowning day in their life where they would give their heart to Jesus, be saved by the grace of God. I pray this morning for that one that's cold and callous, that's indifferent, that's hurting today. Father, the individual that's troubled in their soul, I pray this morning that, Father, you would give comfort, Lord, to them, conviction to the lost, and I pray an opportunity of revival to the saved. Help us today to obey you and to be sensitive to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The psalmist said, "Trust in him at all times." I read this phrase in the book of Psalms, and it kind of just jumped out, and I realize all of us are very familiar for the most part with faith and what it means to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, there's come a time in your life when you realize that the only hope that you had of eternal life was to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And for that to take place, you had to put childlike faith in the finished work of Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for the sins of the world. Here, this word trust in our text and our verse means to have confidence or faith in. Yet it goes beyond a mere knowledge or attitude of a truth promised. It reaches beyond just faith and confidence in an attitude that you might possess or a knowledge that you might have in your mind. But it carries within its meaning a trust that produces something. The faith that David is talking about in verse number 8, the trust in the Lord that he is referring to in this text, produced something in his life. I want to try, if I can, to give a simple thought to this psalm today and just preach for a few moments on times to trust. Times to trust. The psalmist said, "Trust in him at all times." When David is referring to his faith in the Lord, there's several things that's going on in this psalm. There have been some say that David wrote this psalm when he was a fugitive. He was fleeing from Saul. Saul was pursuing his life to take his life. David had been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And Saul, in his jealous rage because of the Spirit of God, had been taken away from Saul, and he knew that David was a threat to his posterity and a threat to the throne. Saul began to pursue David. There have been others that said that this psalm was a psalm written by David when Absalom had revolted against his father's authority. Many of you are familiar with that story, brought about, I believe, because of the sin that David had committed with Bathsheba. And in that sin, God's judgment had come upon David, and his own son had arose against him, amen, to do him hurt, to destroy him, to overthrow his authority. And I don't know what the case may be. I just know this, that whatever situation that David had found himself in this text, he is encouraging himself and those around him to trust in the Lord at all times. Amen. That trust produces assurance. If you were to look at that word and begin to study it, it produces a sureness. In other words, when you trust in the Lord, amen, you should be sure that God is able to take care of the problem and the situation that you're faced with. It's real easy to have a faith in God and that faith just be a general faith, but the psalmist is telling us that in this trust we should have a surety. We should have sureness that God is able to do what needs to be done in the midst of our difficulty. And then it also carries with it the meaning of safety. Trust in the Lord, amen, and you can find safety and you can find peace and contentment no matter what the adverse circumstances of life may be involved in your circumstances or present situation. And so in our text, this word trust gives us an idea that something has been produced in our life. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about a trust that gives you certainty in your life and surety in your life. A trust in the Lord that no matter what may happen to you tomorrow, you can find safety in faith in God. Amen. You can be safe and you can be secure. It speaks of security. That word lets us know that, amen, we can have confidence in what's going on in our world, that God is able to take it and use it and magnify His name. But it also carries this meaning as I begin to study this word. It lets us know that it should produce and it can produce and it will produce a sureness. It will produce safety. It will produce security, but it also produces a stand. When you look at this word, it speaks of boldness. And David, in the midst of all that is going on in his world right now, whether he's a fugitive or whether he is fleeing from Absalom's revolt, David had confidence in the Lord. Amen. He had boldness in the Lord that God was going to perfect him and work in his life and accomplish what needs to be done, and he was able to stand. Let me ask you something. What's faith that you say you have faith this morning? I hope you do. The trust that you have in the things of God and in the God of this Bible, what is that trust produced in your life? Amen. Is it produced sureness? Are you sure this morning? Amen. You see, sureness will cast aside questions in your mind and in your life. Nothing wrong with having questions. Nothing wrong with looking and seeking for answers. But this kind of trust will remove the questions about God and who He is and what He wants to do in your life. Do you feel safe this morning? Amen. When you face trouble, do you get frantic? Do you fret? As the psalmist used that word in another place in the Psalms about fret not thyself. Have you ever fretted? Have you ever got frayed? And have you ever been a time in your life when you were troubled and struggling within? Amen. This word trust in the Word of God can produce safety no matter how much the wind blows in your life, how boisterous the waves may get, how to and fro the ship may be tossed in the sea of life as you travel and sojourn. If you have trust and if you have faith in the things of God, God can produce safety in your life. Security. Amen. A confidence in your soul that this faith has secured you in the will of God. We'll say something about that maybe later, but then the stand. Amen. When trouble comes, what do? Are you wavering? Are you struggling? Are you able to be firm, committed, and stand? Trust in Him at all times. Trust in Him at all times. There are some words that are repeated in these verses. The word truly is seen in verse 1, verse 2, verse 4. There are several verses. Truly, only, and surely are seen in these verses. In verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. That's an aspect of trust. In verse number 2, He only is my rock. Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. David is talking about his trust. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. And then in verse 6, He only is my rock. Verse number 9, surely men of low degree are vanity and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the weight in the balances. They are altogether vanity. Trust not in them, he says. God has spoken it once. Twice have I heard it. That power belongeth unto God. Amen. I'm telling you, David had a trust that produced some things in his life. How important is that to you? How significant is this kind of faith, this kind of trust in your life as you live and as you sojourn in this world? Spurgeon said this, there is no more blessed way of living than a life of dependence upon a covenant-keeping God. We have no care, for He careth for us. We have no troubles, because we cast our burdens upon the Lord. I say again, there is no more blessed way of living than a life of dependence upon a covenant-keeping God. Amen. God is able to meet your need this morning. God is able to satisfy the longing of your soul today. God is able to give you what you need to make it on through the morrow. God is able to work in your life. May I say, you can trust Him. You can trust Him this morning. Times to trust. You can trust Him. I thought about this. What can I trust Him with? Well, I looked in verse number 1, and David said this, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. You can trust Him with your soul this morning. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I wouldn't trust just anybody, amen, with a lot of things in my life. And I certainly wouldn't trust anyone with my soul, amen. The eternality of my soul. My soul's going to live forever. And where my trust is in regarding my soul is going to determine the eternal state of it when I leave this life and pass into the life to come. But I'm glad, Brother Steve, I can trust Him with my soul. They sang this morning, you can trust Jesus. And I'm glad, thank God, you can trust Him with your soul. Amen. I tell you what, shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, the Bible says, and lose his own soul, the very seed of your being, the very reality that you exist this morning is all wrapped up in that one word, soul. The fact that you have one means that this fleshly body may one day fall to the dust of the ground, but you're going to live forever, amen, because you have a soul and you can trust Jesus with it today. You can put your faith and trust in Him with your soul. The fact that it's going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell will be determined by the faith and the trust that you have in Him. You can trust Him with your soul. You can trust Him this morning with what you are and who you are. God is able to take your soul, amen, and secure it in grace and salvation today. You can trust Him with the eternality of your soul. I thought about this. David said in our text, truly my soul waiteth upon God. We know that David is an Old Testament saint, but I believe David is letting us know that he could trust the Lord with the emotions of his soul. Can I tell you something this morning, that you are an emotional being? And I'm not a psychologist, by no stretch of the imagination, but I know that you have feelings. I know this morning that you have emotions. I know this morning that there are things that make you weep, things that make you laugh. You hurt, but you know something about being happy in life. And a lot of that, most of that is regulated by the soul that God has put within you. God created man after his own image, after his likeness, and he gave man a soul so that he could be touched with the infirmities and feelings of life. Here David is distressed. Here David, without question, is probably in a lot of trouble. He don't know what's going on in his world, but he said, trust in him at all times. He said, my soul has waited patiently on the Lord. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, my soul is troubled. And we know that the reason that Jesus' soul was troubled was because that Judas was about to betray him. His friend, his familiar friend, that he knew from the very beginning had a devil. But the Bible tells us that Jesus' soul was troubled over the choice and the decision that Judas had made for 30 pieces of silver to betray the Son of God. And I'm telling you, he was troubled because of the sin that he was going to have to carry to Calvary. Can you imagine that I wasn't even alive in that time? But I'm telling you, my sin burdened him down. My sin caused him to go in Gethsemane and bow and pray till his sweat became his drops of blood that fell to the ground, because he was going to carry my burden to Calvary. He was going to carry my sin to the cross. He was going to pay the debt that I could not pay. He was going to secure salvation and redemption for all those that would trust in him at all times. You can trust him this morning with your soul. Amen. Have you done that today? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? What are you holding on? It's amazing. It's amazing in our society, especially in America. It's amazing what people are holding on to when it comes to eternity. You can go to the religions of this world that claim to be evangelical, and you can talk to them about eternal things, and they'll say, well, you know, as long as I make it through, as long as I hold on, as long as my good may outweigh my bad, as long as I can, but none of that or all of it together is going to secure you a place in eternity with God. Amen. No man has ever been able to work his way to heaven. Not by works of righteousness, Paul said, which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. They sing that song today about the mercy of God. I stand amazed that mercy reached me where I was at. Amen. I'm telling you, when I think of the grace of God at Calvary and the mercy of God that was extended unto me, that God would save a wretch like me, an ungodly sinner, hopeless and lost and bound for hell, wrapped in the cords of my iniquity, without hope and without God. An alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise, but God in his mercy and in his great love paid that debt for me. And I'm telling you, all the righteousness that you can produce in this life is not going to secure you a place in eternity. I talked to a man some time ago, and it's an Amish man. It's been several years ago now. And he said, well, you know, we believe in being born again and baptism and all that stuff. That's what he called it. But we don't believe that anybody is really going to know anything about making it in until they get there and their good outweighs their bad. That's a pretty pathetic way to live. That's a pretty insecure way to live. Especially when you live the way they do. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, the grace of God brought salvation to my soul. And I'm glad, amen, that you can trust him with your soul. I thought about this. David tells us that you can trust him with your stability. Now let me tell you something. We are like sheep. Every one of us are like sheep. We go astray. Dumbest animal in all the world. You listening to me? And we are given illustration after illustration in the Bible about how we are sheep. gone astray. The Bible tells us explicitly in Psalms 23 what the shepherd has to do in behalf of the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. In other words, the psalmist is telling us that the sheep have to have a shepherd. Now I say to you today, we are within ourselves unstable people. But the foundation of God this morning standeth sure. Isn't that wonderful? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Amen. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I'm glad that my soul, my resting place is on a rock that's solid. David said in verse 2 of our text, He only is my rock and my salvation. And so David is saying, in the midst of my instability, Brother Joe, in the midst of my inconsistency, when I have failed God, it all boils down to this reality. Trust in Him at all times, for He is the rock. He is the stability that I need in life. And so if you begin to trust in your ability to stand, you're going to fall. If you trust in your ability to be steadfast, you're going to fail. The best have failed. I'm going to tell you what David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery. The Bible said it was a time when kings went to war. I believe David had got secure in his own realm. He surveyed the power of God in his kingdom, the armies that he possessed. I believe David at that time, when he went upon his house, said there's nobody that can avail, nobody that can prevail over Israel. Nobody can take us down. Nobody can overcome us. And I'm going to tell you what, even though the blessings of God and the covenant of God with Israel was sustained, yet David within himself personally failed to sin. This man failed to sin. That tells us to trust in him at all times. What do you put your trust in? The word trust is found well over 100 times in the Bible. Faith multiple times. Amen. Allusions and references to belief in God and faith in the Lord. Amen. Consumes this book that we call the Bible, the inspired, inerrant Word of God that we embrace and say we believe. Where's your trust today? What have you put your faith and your trust in this morning? What are you leaning on? What sustains you? What is your stability wrapped up in today? David said you can trust him with your soul. Amen. David says you can trust him with your stability. David says you can trust him with your security. Amen. He says in verse number 2, he's my defense. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank God for a strong defense. That's the best offense you can ever have, is a strong defense. We know that politically and economically and every other way in our realm today, in a social structure of our world. But spiritually this morning, you're going to have to understand that you are kept by the power of God through faith. That's what Peter said. Amen. And if you, amen, are going to have the security that you need in your soul and the peace that you need in your heart, you're going to have to trust in God. You're going to have to put your faith in Him. For it is He and He alone that can save. It is He and He alone that can secure. And David says here, he says, He is my defense. The psalmist said, let all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. I'm telling you, when the odds are against you and when it seems like the enemy's pursuing you and it seems as if you're going to be overtaken, you're going to have to understand by faith that you can trust Him. I am overcome. I am overwhelmed. I am outnumbered. David said He's my defense. Amen. You can't fight the battle alone. Amen. And you'll get frantic trying. That's what happened to Gehazi in the Bible. I believe that was his name, wasn't it? Gehazi. Gehazi, I believe, was Elisha's servant. I'm going to tell you what. Elijah, I believe it was Elijah, wasn't it? The story I'm thinking of. It's kind of off the cuff. My cuff, not yours, but it's off the cuff. The Assyrian army, I believe it was the Assyrian army, was pursuing Elijah. And they were going to overtake him. Here comes the army. Elijah's down in the valley. There's his servant Gehazi. He's frantic. He's chewing his fingernails off to the second joint. His nerves is tore all to pieces. He don't know which end's up, and he's afraid he's going to die. Here the man of God is. It seems as if he is as calm as he can be. Nothing going on. He's not emotionally distressed. He's not drawing out a plan. He's not digging a hole to hide in. He's not running from the enemy. He seems to be as calm as he's always been. And Gehazi says, "Don't you understand? Don't you understand, preacher? That they are all around us. We are overcome. We are outnumbered. They're truly going to slay us. There's no hope that we'll survive." And Elisha said, "Son, there's more for us than there are against us." And Gehazi said, "This man has lost his mind. I'm telling you, hey man, there's nobody else here but us two. And their complete Assyrian army is pursuing us. And they're about to overtake us, kill us. We're not going to survive. It's going to be a mess. I'm fixing to die. And I'm too young to die." He's frantic. He's fretting. He's overwhelmed. And Elisha said, "Lord, open up his eyes." You're going to read the story. One of the most exciting stories in the Bible to me. And Gehazi, amen, spiritually had his eyes opened by the hand of God. And he began to look across the mountains. And everywhere he saw, it was nothing but chariots of fire. Amen, man, with the army of the host of God. I'm telling you, he will defend you. You may not see, amen, you may not understand that sheltering hand of God. But he's there to defend you when the enemy's about to overtake you. Trust him with your security. You can trust him with your strength. He said in verse 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength." David said, "All that I have, all the ability and all the strength I have is of God." Amen. You'll have to trust him with that. God may ask you and may require of you to do things that's beyond your physical gifts, talents, and abilities. You may have the Lord to deal with your heart about fulfilling a task in the will of God that reaches far beyond what you think in your mind that you can do. But David said, "In God I find the rock of my strength." Your strength is in him. You can trust him at all times. Have you ever been weak? Have you ever known what it was like to have a weak faith? I read the Bible sometimes and I see people that are staggering in their faith. I see them weak. I see a family that's in straits and needs help from God. And they cry out to Jesus, "Lord, help thou mine unbelief." I see people that are struggling with needs in life in the Word of God, and they have reached to physicians and to everyone that might offer them some relief of their pain, their suffering, their turmoil, their hurt. But he's their strength. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You start leaning upon your own arm. You start leaning upon your own ability and talents. And we thank God for talents. And we understand that there are diversities of gifts in the Bible. Many talents, many abilities represented here in this ministry today. We thank God if you can sing. We thank God if you can play. If God has given you a gift to open up the Word of God and expound the Scriptures, we thank God for that gift. But if you're not careful, if you're not real careful, you can easily find yourself leaning on the talents that you have developed and the gifts that you seem to naturally possess. And that has been the downfall of the church of God around the world. And that is, people not only just assess their gifts, but they put all of their confidence in their flesh and in their ability without desiring and coveting the power of God and the presence of God, the manifestation of God's power in their life. The Bible said that power belongeth unto the Lord. I could stand up here because I have preached and because I have studied the Bible and because I have received some knowledge through the years, and I could deliver to you a doctrinal discourse. I could give you an exegesis of a passage of Scripture with a theme, and you could leave here and say, truly, that was the Word of God. That was the truth. Pastor Massengill gave us something from God's Word, and you would leave here just as empty as last year's bird's nest, cold as a dog's nose and stiff as a poker, as Brother Raines would say, without any eternal help. But if man in this world, if a young man and a young lady can take and assess their talents and understand their calling and the place that God has put them in the body and desire the power of God and thirst for the power of God and lay hold of God and say, God, I need your touch. God, I need your power. God, I need your anointing. God can do great things with you this morning. God can take who you are and what you are and mold it and make it into the will of God and do things for you and through you that you could never imagine. Trust in Him at all times. You can trust Him with your strength. I've already alluded to this. You can trust Him with your safety. He is the rock of my strength and my refuge, verse 7. My refuge is in God. A refuge is a place of shelter. It's a place to hide. It's a place to run to. You remember in the Word of God, those cities of refuge that we sing about, those cities of refuge where was provided a place when man got in trouble with the law and there were things that happened. If he killed someone unintentional, the next of kin or the one that was going to desire to be revenged of that blood that was shed, the only hope that man had was to run to that city of refuge. Amen. Amen. To run to that place where he could find shelter and safety. And I'm going to tell you what, God is the place we run. For in Him is who we trust. Our trust and our faith is in the Son of God. Preacher, I'm in trouble. Oh, I tell you what, if I could just some kind of way learn in my own life when trouble comes and problems come and difficulties associate themselves with my everyday world, if there's some way that I could have the kind of faith that David is describing in Psalm 62 and verse 8, and whatever time I face in my life, I would be willing to run to that place of refuge and trust Him. Do you trust Him this morning? Proverbs says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Shall be safe. Times to trust. Well, there's a lot of things that happen in our life. A lot of things that have happened in our lives. And each time frame that is represented in the circumstances that have crept into our world that make us question, make us somewhat uncomfortable. In all those times, you can put your trust in Him. And I could preach this today, but I thought about times of trouble. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to be long. That was the introduction to the message. I have about 4 or 5 points, but I'm not going to be able to preach them this morning. I didn't intend to get hung up that long in that introduction. I want you to read you some verses about trusting God in times of trouble. Now listen to me. Are you listening to me? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. That's what the Bible said in Job. Job also said, as the sparks fly upward, as you see a fire burning, and you move that fire around and the sparks start ascending up to the heavens, as the sparks fly upward, so is man born into trouble. So you're not going to live your life in this world without experiencing trouble. But I'm going to read you several verses from 2 Corinthians. I feel like the Lord wants me to do this. Normally I don't turn to a passage while I'm preaching. I'll quote it or try to read it to you myself. But I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in this text in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be, listen now, here's the reason for it now, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that helped me this morning. I don't like trouble no more than the next man likes trouble. But Paul said, we understand the mercy of God and we bless God because of the comfort that we have received in the midst of trouble, but not just what we have received, but the reason that's behind it, because we have been able to comfort others with that comfort that we received of God when we was in trouble. Hallelujah. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ, notice what it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope, verse 7, of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivereth us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, amen, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul said, we were pressed out of measure, and we were almost at the point of death, but we put our trust in him who is able to raise the dead. And in Paul's trust, in all the affliction, in all the distress that he faced in the troubles of this life, he was comforted, he had consolation, and he gained strength in that. So you can trust him. Times of trouble, you can trust him. Do you trust him? People run to the bank, run to mom and dad. People run everywhere but to an altar where the sovereign God of heaven is able to assist them and help them in the trouble. I thought about times of trial. Can you trust him? Yes, you can trust him at all times in the time of trouble. You can trust him in times of trial. I thought about the perception that trials bring if you trust him. You ever seen someone that is totally disoriented because of trials? Have you ever seen someone that is in desperate despair because of trials? And then, on the other hand, seen someone going through a trial of affliction, and they pointed men to God. Peter said, beloved, listen to what he said. Peter said, beloved, think it not strange. He said, think it not strange concerning the trial of your faith. He said, concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Paul or Peter is telling us that we can have, if we have faith and trust in the Lord in the times of trial, that we can have an understanding, a perception in the midst of those trials. Then I thought about the purpose. You can trust in the Lord. And here's what you can know. I'm faced with a trial, preacher. I don't know. Here's what Job said. Job, and I'm paraphrasing here. Job pretty much said, I was minding my own business. I wasn't doing anything out of the way. I wasn't going out. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't living in any kind of open sin. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is what Job said in a text. He said, I wasn't at rest, wasn't at safety. I was just going about my daily affairs and trouble came. That's what he said. And trouble came. But Paul said, for we know all things, and we know all things, work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Don't quote that verse without quoting verse number 29. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the things that happen in the trials of this life are conforming us to the image of Christ as we sojourn in this life. And I don't have time to illustrate it. Abraham, all the way through Job, Joseph, everybody in the Bible, the Apostle Paul admits to it in the text that I just read in Corinthians. The trials of this life, if you trust in God, can mold you and make you into the image of Jesus. Now listen to me. Are you listening to me? Trouble and trial are a part of life. No matter if you're saved or lost. Man is not going to escape trouble until he steps into eternity with God. But you can have faith in the midst of trouble. Let me just give you this and I'm done. Times of tragedy. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Tragic things happen. We've had tragic things happen here in 25 years. And I've seen people respond negatively. I've seen them respond positively to the Lord. And I'm telling you, I've seen great things happen in people's lives in the midst of tragic events. I wish I could undo them this morning. But I can't undo the tragic events. But God can do great things in the midst of them. Times of temptation. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, God says. He's able with the temptation to make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Tempted. Abraham was tempted to prove his faith. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, led of the Spirit. Jesus was led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You're not going to escape temptation. You're going to have to, you boys listening to me, you're going to have to face temptation. You young ladies are going to have to face temptation in life. Amen. The best thing that could ever happen to you, Miss Bethany, when you face temptation is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because if you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If you will be led of the Spirit and guided by the Spirit, you won't have to worry about facing failure and loss in the midst of temptation. But you can trust God. What do you mean trust God, preacher? What do you mean trust God in temptation? Well, let me give you this old definition that I preached to this church for years about temptation. Temptation is the allurement. Now I need you to listen. Every young man, young lady, young family in this church, listen to what I'm fixing to say if you've never remembered this. Temptation is the allurement to fulfill a legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. Now I'm going to say that to you again because you need to listen to it. Every young lady, young man needs to listen to what I'm saying. Temptation is the allurement to fulfill, are you listening? A legitimate desire, but do so in an illegitimate way. And what you're going to have to do when you trust the Lord in temptation is understand that there's a big difference between fun and fulfillment. Amen. Fun is like cotton candy. It'll melt in your mouth in a moment and it's over with and you almost have forgotten the experience. Yes, fulfillment is something that you can wake up with each day of your life and remember all your life. Amen. There's a big difference. Yes, sir. And I'm telling you, if you'll just trust God, young lady, if you'll just trust God, young man, in the days of temptation, when the devil says, come, man, I've got all kinds of things for you. Check this billboard out. Are you listening? Check this out. Look at what I can supply for you. Look at him up there with a beer in his hand. Look at him up there. Look at her up there in the evening gown. But they don't show you the end result of sin. They don't show you what happens to the individual that fulfills that desire in an unbiblical way and transgresses the law of God. But you can trust God that knowing in your life and in your heart that God is able to fulfill your life and fulfill your desires and grant satisfaction to your walk. Amen. Amen. Times of turmoil, the list could go on. What are you saying, G? What are you saying, preacher? Trust in Him at all times. As the choir sang, I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. What is it? He never once has failed. Is that it? To meet my need. What is it? He is my strong tower. The strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. Trust Him. You can trust Him this morning, young man, with your soul. Are you listening to me? You can trust Him when the world is caving in around you and it seems like all hope is gone. You can trust Him. He's never failed anyone. He's never let anyone down. He will fulfill your desires, your thirst, your hungers. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, can meet them all today. If I could say one thing, if I never preached another message and I left this pulpit today and never stood before you again, I would feel comfortable sitting before or standing before God in the next breath I take, telling you, trust Him at all times. I don't know what you're going through right now. You'd be amazed at the inward struggles that are represented here in this building. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what's going on with your hope. I don't know what the devil's trying to do. I don't know what's going on in the world that you live in today. You may need to just put your faith and trust solely, only, surely, truly, David says, in God and in God alone. You listening to me? Let me tell you what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said again. There is no more blessed way of living than a life of dependence upon a covenant-keeping God. We have no care, for He careth for us. We have no troubles, because we cast our burdens upon the Lord.